All right, thank you for hanging out on the show. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. Want to welcome in Maria Torres from the LA Times. Great article right now. COVID-19 hospitalizations increase where the Dodgers and Angels will play. When I say great article, what I'm referring to there is very insightful. So, Maria, thank you for taking the time and joining the show. How are you doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing well, thankfully. How about you guys?
Doing good. I think we're all, we're all on this high right now of seeing that sports could potentially come back. But I think we're all trying to be cautious as well. And your article points out just a lot of things to keep in mind. So I'll ask you, and if you could give us just a little bit of background of the article for those who haven't got a chance to read it. We know the Dodgers and the Angels will both play in this 10-team regional division. Can you give us a little bit of a breakdown how things are specifically looking related to COVID-19 for some of those cities? I know you do it in the article, but for listeners out there, if you could do that for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So for anyone who hasn't looked through what exactly MLB's plans are for this season, all the teams are going to be playing in these 10-team divisions. And the Angels and Dodgers will be playing against the AL and NL West teams. So you've got the five California teams, the Diamondbacks in Arizona, the two Texas teams in Houston and Arlington, and then you've got Washington. And there's Denver. I've never been to Denver, so I always forget that Denver exists sometimes. But anyway, so in those areas, COVID-19 cases are spiking, which is the case in a lot of places as well. But the thing to be most alarmed about is that COVID-19 related hospitalizations are spiking in most of those as well. In California, you're seeing a decrease in a slight decrease in certain areas in COVID-19 hospitalizations, but in places like Arizona and Texas, that number is on the rise, and it's pretty dramatic. We looked at the number of hospitalizations kind of on a daily basis. It really depended on the data that was available from the counties, but for the most part, the counties provided data that showed cumulative or daily hospitalizations related to COVID-19. And in Arizona, that number has spiked dramatically to the point where you've seen 161% increase in hospitalizations. And in Houston, Harris County in Texas, that number is at 178% increase.
Wow.
So these are huge numbers. And the problem with that is that the hospitalizations related to COVID are obviously taking up beds. And if someone in MLB or, anywhere really, ends up seriously ill from the coronavirus, they could potentially be at a point where maybe there's not a bed available for them. And it could be a healthcare crisis in those areas.
But one of the things is, obviously, Major League Baseball, I'm trying to figure this out in terms of what I read in the protocols and the videos and the brochures and how players are supposed to go out and perform, but yet we still don't understand everything about this, right? Mm-hmm. There could be some asymptomatic players that could be possibly passing on to other players. We don't even know that. And so will masks also be required for players? Because I haven't heard anything about that. Like, if we're doing it as a country, wouldn't baseball, shouldn't they think about doing masks even with players, even in the dugouts or managers, anytime that the players are intermingling?
That's the funny part is they're not going to be required to wear the masks if you're doing any kind of physical activity. So that basically rules out, playing the game or exercising or doing bullpens or anything like that. You don't have to wear a mask. But even if you're not in the game, they're not going to require you to wear a mask if you're in the dugout. They're just going to recommend. I don't think the words recommend wearing a mask are in the document, but don't quote me on that because I haven't thoroughly searched the protocol document on that word. So masks are basically only required when you're not doing physical activity.
Maria Torres from the LA Times joined the Sliwa Show. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison here. Maria, what are your thoughts? Because we've made this comparison a ton with this bubble that the NBA is doing. And obviously for baseball, it's completely different. They're going to play a game in their home stadium, and then they're eventually going to go home and, you know, sleep in their own bed. There's going to be obviously travel that comes into play. How much of a concern is there just around Major League Baseball in general that this specific plan comes with a lot of risk? We spend a lot of time talking about baseball just if they can come to an agreement, but now that they have and there's a 60-game season, how much would you be concerned that this is very risky the way they have it structured?
The people that I talk to, and none of them, you know, are talking publicly about these concerns, but I think in general it's probably safe to say that there are people that are worried about the not playing inside a bubble, because, like you mentioned, your players are going to be kind of free. They're not going to have, I mean, they're going to have their free will. There's not going to be any restrictions put in place preventing them from doing whatever they would like to do in their free time. There will
it
be
exposes them more, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The exposure is still, there's still a huge risk of exposure in this format. Not that the exposure wouldn't have occurred within a bubble, but it definitely would have been a lesser risk there. I think the concern is, like you mentioned earlier, is that you don't know the long term effects of becoming infected with the virus. Even if you're asymptomatic, I mean, I think it's probably fair to say that there's a chance that, you know, it could impact you down the line. It's a respiratory illness. You don't, as an athlete, I don't think you want to come down with a respiratory illness that could eventually impact your endurance. And I think that's something that people aren't really taking into mind, or maybe they're just not being public about their concerns about it.
You know, Maria, I think one of the things that people in Los Angeles have been focusing on, obviously, is the Dodgers. But what about the Angels? And what about Joe Maddon, right? You got a manager that he's a little older in age. And we saw that there was a little bit of a rift between the NBA, I think it was coaches, who are a little bit older, who at first were, hey, they're going to be required to wear masks. I think it was Greg Popovich and a couple
Popovich,
other.
Popovich and Mike D'Antoni.
Mike D'Antoni, yeah. So what about Maddon? Is there something in which baseball has talked about owners who are a little, I mean, not owners, but managers who are a little bit older, right, having to require to be wearing masks or may not, or even still, we haven't even talked much about the Angels who are getting ready to start some baseball up.
Yeah, I mean, just on the topic of managers and Joe Maddon, I mean, we actually spoke to Joe Maddon today in a conference call with some of the reporters who cover the team, and he was pretty. If you guys know Joe Maddon, you know he's a very optimistic man, and he's very happy-go-lucky, I guess is a way to put it. And he's spent the months during this pandemic just making sure that his health is right, and he's overhauled some of his habits, and he feels better than he has in a long time. And he's prepared. He says he's prepared himself physically for re-entering the baseball world. But even still, I mean, he is 66. He's still in that higher risk range, and it's going to be the responsibility of protecting Joe Maddon isn't only on Joe Maddon and what he does, but it's going to be on everyone around him and what they do. And the same will go for anyone who's in that high risk category. I mean, in the Angels case, we don't know if there are any players who are considering opting out right now, but there are players who can opt out for whatever reason they would like. Mike Trout would surely have a good reason to opt out, because he and his wife are expecting their first child in August. And she could be at high risk if she were to contract the virus. And so it's such a balancing act, and a dangerous one at that.
Maria, we'll leave you with this, and I know it's been a long, long road to get to this point, and the next 30, 60, 90 days are also going to be, you know, incredibly interesting. And I think there's going to be a lot of curiosity how this plays out. But what's your excitement level just to kind of see that potentially we might get baseball back and we might be able to, you know, play 60 games, eventually get into the postseason, and then also crown a World Series champion? You've got two LA teams that, you know, should be, of course, the Dodgers. We know they're expected, one of the favorites to win a World Series. Angels as well, some great offseason acquisitions. Just in general, what's your excitement for getting baseball back?
If let's say, like, completely ignore everything that's gone on in the last few months, I would be really excited as an Angels fan to see Anthony Rendon, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, Albert Pujols, Dustin Upton, all of them hit in the same lineup, and in some form of that order, back to back. I would be excited from that standpoint. And also, if you're just looking at it at the 60 games that they have on the Angels side. They know that for the whole time they'll have Shohei Ohtani as a pitcher again, and they expect to have Griffin Canning, who had been sidelined in spring training because of an elbow injury. They expect to have him back in the rotation as well. And he showed some promise as a rookie last year. They added to the rotation during the offseason, Dylan Bundy and Julio Teheran, two guys who had started to make strides in spring training, and who looked like they were going to take off this season too. I think there's definitely a lot to be excited about from the Angels side, and then you guys on the Dodgers front maybe can speak a little bit more about that. But you, as a Dodgers fan, I would be excited to watch Mookie Betts finally, and even if it's just 60 games or however many games they end up being able to play, seeing Mookie Betts and David Price in Dodgers uniforms would be fun.
Well, Maria, hopefully we get that opportunity to see it, and we appreciate your time. If you haven't got a chance, go to the LA Times. Go there today. Go on the sports page. Maria Torres from the LA Times. COVID-19 hospitalizations increase where the Dodgers and Angels will play. So it kind of gives a breakdown of what are going to be some of the challenges. Maria, we greatly appreciate your time. Thank you for doing this. All right.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Take care.
All right. You too. All right. That's Maria Torres right there. Hey, Kirk, I got a question for you here.
What you got, brother?
You ever gone camping?
Yes, I have gone camping in my younger year. I haven't done it. Only camping you go get me doing is probably in my backyard, but I'm still going inside probably about at midnight.
All right, I got a camping story coming up for you. Mm-hmm. I got a camping, actually. It's what's coming up in my near future, so I'm going to give you kind of a little bit of a breakdown of it.
Alan, plus, I have a question before. Does just, it involve just, a bear?
No bears. By the way, yesterday, when the show ended, I'm just kind of sitting back and I'm like, you know, I really tried giving them some bear advice. You know, here I am going out of my way. I was like, Kirk, I was like Ranger Rick or something. When I took a step back, I was like, yeah, I gave them way too much of a Boy Scout nine-year-old trying to give some information. But let's talk a little camping, because I got some camping coming up this weekend. So, Kirk, I gotta highlight that for you. We'll do that when we come back. Stay right here. The Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison.
Pregúntale a Kirk.
All right, so Kirk, first of all, yesterday when you were talking, we were all talking about In-N-Out. I had to go do some In-N-Out earlier today, yeah. So I definitely did that. I didn't go five patties. I went two patties. But let me tell you something. By the time I was done with those two patties and it was protein style, I'm still hungry. I could have thrown another patty in there. I should have gone. I think I could have. But can you explain something to me with In-N-Out?
Yeah.
How do you deliver 100% of the time? How's that possible?
I think because
are you ever disappointed? Like, I don't think I'm ever disappointed when I walk away from In-N-Out.
Well, I think because when you're and for me, obviously we've all been regulated to what? Drive-through, right?
Yep.
For me, I don't know about
you have
other
a perception
people.
Of what drive-through food is.
Yeah. But when you see that clear glass and you looking inside and you eyeing everybody cooking in there, I mean, it's like
they're all
the pressure's
too.
On. Everybody is like, I could be getting watched right now. So I feel like they put the extra effort into what they're got going on, man.
But and that's like that's like a
that's perfect.
Kirk, let's take a sports angle on In-N-Out, right?
All right.
Like, that's a well-run organization. You know what I'm
yes,
saying? Like,
absolutely.
That's
I agree.
From the top down. They got all their ducks in a row.
Right.
There's no messing around. The tomatoes are cut properly. There's yes. a perfect amount of onion right there. you know, the sauce is good. They are freaking executing to perfection. I don't want to do this because we did this yesterday too, but I just want to tell you, I went to In-N-Out and damn, do they deliver every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
I think it's like, for me, a football analogy, and maybe a lot of this may go over a lot of people's heads.
I love this. A football analogy for In-N-Out. Let's hear it.
But it's like, I need an offensive lineman bad, right? If you're a team, I need an offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. And so where are you going to go? I'm going to the University of Wisconsin, right? Like, how many Wisconsin offensive linemen every single year
get
drafted in the first round? It's like, you know where to go if you're looking for an offensive lineman. You either go to Wisconsin or you're going to the University of Iowa. Those are the only the two schools that you like. I know the product that I'm getting. I know the type of player, the coaching. That's just what it is. So, and I think that's the comfort of sometimes when you go certain places too, right? You're like, you know what? Let's just go with something safe that we know. That's for me, In-N-Out. No matter where you go, which one, right?
But it delivers.
What part of California?
Because there's been a lot of restaurants that I could say that for, but there's plenty of experiences where I'm like, all right, they didn't bring their A game today. You know what I mean? They didn't bring their A game, but In-N-Out delivers every time. Okay, real quick, let me take a quick left turn here. So, agree with this or not, it's probably much different for you in your predicament. How many kids you have?
Too many. Too many. Me and my wife, we got three kids over here, man.
All right, so you got three kids. Give me the age. Ages.
8, 6, 4. No, sorry. No. 6, 4, and 20 months.
Okay, 6, 4, and 20 months. Okay. So I got to imagine, especially for someone like you, who was probably out of the house a ton, not because you didn't want to be home, but just this is your job, right? You're traveling, you're doing this, you're doing that. You went from all that to you're home every single day, right? So I'm sure there's an adjustment to that. And, you know, the kids, maybe they were going to school, now they're all at home, whatever the case is. So just think of like the last, you know, 3, 4 months. Like I said, much different for you because you got, you know, the family, the kids, the wife. It's a completely different level that, you know, I can't compared to at this point in my life, right? Mm-hmm. So you got that. And I don't know what it is, but man, there is nothing better than like just getting off the map a little bit. Get off the grid. You know how they say get off the grid? Your cell phone don't work. You don't have access to internet. Computers out, or you know, you're not bringing a computer. No TV, none of that stuff. That's camping for me, okay?
Right,
so I go once a year. Once a year I go, and I'm going to go this Saturday, and because I got the show till Friday night, I'm going to basically be driving back on Monday, but going out to the woods, Sequoia. You ever been out to Sequoia?
Yeah, I went out to Sequoia, long time ago, but yeah, Sequoia, beautiful, beautiful.
Kirk,
Sequoia,
how beautiful is out there, bro?
Oh, my God. I feel like just the air is a little
breathe
bit different.
Breathe the fresh
there.
Air. Oh,
it's just
my
a little bit.
Gosh.
It's, like you say, that air hit different, right? It hits a little different.
100% it does. So it's going to be a quick trip, but I'm going to go out there. Today I was out at REI. Oh, man, REI gets you. Whatever it is. Whatever you want to get, REI is like, you're going to have to pay a little bit extra for that right here. out at REI. And in my head, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, all right, I got to grab all this stuff, get it all set. And I'm counting down, not going to lie. Today's Wednesday, two more shows after that, and then take off to Sequoia for a couple days. Nothing better than it. Literally, Kirk, nothing better than being out there.
Uh-huh. Nothing like that's it. What, I mean.
So I got coming up on Saturday.
Okay. So you got a nice little break in the action. You get a chance to kind of relax a little bit. But I think that's what a lot of people kind of need right now, right? You need some
especially
sort of,
now. Big time.
And that's the thing I do, Alan. What do like baseball players? Because if you think about it, this may sound funny, but like this is the last weekend of freedom for baseball players, and they didn't know that until yesterday.
That's right. So July 1st, they report
next Wednesday, a week from today. Mm-hmm. So this is their last weekend before it gets real, all the way real. So I wonder what guys are going to do. You know, do you
games every day?
Bit?
Every day you play 66.
Do they go camping?
You play 60 games in 66 nights.
Yes, it's about to get real. You're gonna be thinking about that. I mean, that was my rule in the off season. By the way, all right, my rule in the off season was man, do I want to go home? And you look at your watch and it's probably about midnight. And then you're thinking, man, when that NFL season comes, you're going to wish you had that little time that you went out for a little bit longer. Just because you remember those little moments, because when that I won't call it freedom is taken away from you, but when that luxury that you had
what you
of
mean.
Being able to go out when you want to, you miss that
over.
Part, right? Because now you got responsibility. Now you got to be at work. Now you got to be on your A game. Football season's here. Baseball season's here. NBA's here, right? You got to be on it. You got to be ready to roll now. Mm-hmm. So
that's Kirk. That's part of the grind too. With your job. That's why I'm so curious. What happens with football this year? And a little bit later, after halftime, I do want to ask you just how are we going to get football back? But that is going to be one of the questions. Like for you, you will have gone from, traveling every weekend, you're doing the Rams, you're doing this, you're doing that, doing college football, and then boom, there's nothing there. Like that's a huge adjustment. So we'll see we're just going to have to wait and see how everything ends up playing out. But let me just remind listeners out there, 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who is working as a healthcare professional, a healthcare provider, firefighter, EMS worker, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com with your first and last name, city, and occupation, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift to include a $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shuteria.com. So thank you to our partners. Thank you to obviously all our frontline workers. Halftime coming up next. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. This is the Sliwa Show.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. Jesse, what's going on over there?
Not much, Alan. Just living my life. I just sneakily ate some food because you guys got me too hungry with In-N-Out. But
and
my food just wasn't satisfying.
You say you're going to go this weekend?
I want to. I think I am. I'm going to go visit my brother. I think I might, I guess I'll be the good brother and take In-N-Out to there. But it's mostly for me.
That's a great brother. That's a great brother. By the way, Kirk, this is what happens on the show. I don't know what day it was. I don't know what was happening. Me, Jesse, and Curtis just started talking about Mexican food. Next thing you know, 10 minutes goes by.
Multiple.
That's at least every other day.
All of us are just craving, just think about all the unbelievable taco shops.
In a
150-mile radius, and I'm saying you could go any direction you want, right? Like there's just great Mexican food everywhere. And I guess now In-N-Out is the new conversation. It's good burgers. But okay, Kirk, set this up here, because what's going on, Jared Dudley, Patrick Beverly? What's happening here?
Just a little back and forth today between those two. A little friendly beef, because one of the things that I can say this, and I know this from experience. I go back to, again, 2011, Alan, okay? 2011 was the NFL's lockout, okay? And that means the NFL owners locked out the players until there was a new bargain. New CBA was signed. Well, they signed that CBA right during when training camp was supposed to have started. They canceled the Hall of Fame game, but it was like it just happened. And so you kind of have that quick, hey, training camp's going to be in about 2 weeks or about a week. Get ready. Everything was really rushed, kind of what we're seeing with baseball. NBA has a little bit more time, because guys are going to have like a little training camp before they actually start rolling out games. And I'll tell you this. I remember 2011, because there was a lot of what? Soft tissue injuries. We're talking about groins, hamstrings, calf muscles, all of those types of injuries that you can possibly get, because it's one thing people say, are you in shape? Yes. I think a lot of athletes are in shape, but are you in your specific sports shape? That means the twists, the movements, the things that you have to do to be great at your sport, that's a different kind of shape. And the body is not used to you doing those full speed movements that could, you know, happen at any point, right? You can't simulate the movements of the NBA or the NFL, Major League Baseball. They just happen because of a reaction. And so soft tissue injuries, there's going to be a rise, Alan. I just know it in all the sports. How will they handle it?
It's a fair concern. It's a fair concern. So
it was also a concern that I've thought of, but then Jared Dudley, okay, Lakers forward Jared Dudley.
Vet, been in the game for a while, 13, 14 years in the league, yep.
So he, you know, brought that up today on his Twitter account and said, there's not enough talk. I quote this. This is from him. Yep. I quote this. Not enough talk about soft tissue injuries with basically 2 weeks of full court, 5-on-5, to prepare for a 3-month potential season. Basically, what he's saying is, look, we got 2 weeks to basically get up to speed. And we know, look, playing shape is something that works your way up over time, right? I mean, guys kind of hit their stride 2 or 3, maybe 4 months into a season, sometimes after the All-Star break. So Jared Dudley brings up some valid points that I've always said, you know, you have to do that. But then there's, you know, you open yourself up for comment.
Here comes
you open
Pat
yourself up from criticism.
Here comes
and it's
Patrick
the arch
Beverly
nemesis
of the Los
it's
Angeles
the nemesis.
Clippers.
It's the other team that you share the building with. It's Patrick Beverly of the Los Angeles Clippers. And I quote Patrick Beverly here. Here's the beef. He says, again, basketball is a year-round sport. We don't want to hear that expletive.
Ish.
I just say expletive. And then says, check. Basically, like, check, man. Like
check with like a basketball check. Emoji. So
yes.
Check ball.
Like, let's check ball. Like, let's go. Check. Like, we don't want to hear that. Like, get out of here. Like, don't try to build in an excuse. Hey,
okay,
we're all
so
in this together.
A couple things on that, all right? Jared Dudley is right, by the way.
He is.
Listen,
totally.
when you do training camp to get ready for the season to start, you do training camp, you do a few preseason games, and then what do you have? You think everybody's given all their effort in November and December? No, they're pacing themselves, right? All right,
correct.
Let me get my body right. Let me get ready. By the time I roll to maybe January, February, switch it off to another gear. By the time I go to March, okay, let's go. Well,
right.
The NBA doesn't have that luxury. That's just the reality. Not going to lie. Patrick Beverly, I don't expect anything different from him. To say, again, basketball is a year-round sport. You know what he's saying right there? What he's saying right there, Kirk, is every day I'm working on my game and I'm ready. So whenever it's time to play, I'm ready to go. That's what I think Patrick Beverly's saying right there. What else do you expect? This is exactly who Patrick Beverly is. He's going to run his mouth like no tomorrow. Jesse, you expect anything different from Pat Bev?
Of course not. It's Patrick Beverly. That's
Patrick
who he
Beverly,
is.
Right?
That's like he's that player that you love to hate on because he's not on your team. All
he's
the
a gnat on the court. He's a gnat on Twitter.
Yep.
Hey, what they say? Remember that? They say, like, when was the last time you seen a lion or a tiger stretch? You don't. They don't stretch. They just go attack. Right? They stay ready. They stay ready.
I like
my old,
that. Actually,
my old track coach used to say that.
I like that. Lion isn't saying I need 2 weeks. You know, I got some soft tissue.
But what I want to know is, if we see a lion out in nature, do we stand up to it and try to, you know?
No, run on that one. Hey, run on that one.
Draw a lion circle.
Okay. Yeah, that one you run.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Jess, take it from there, man. No Ranger Rick today, guys. No Ranger Rick coming in. Ranger Sliwa. What do you got there, Jess?
All right. So I came across something interesting. Former NFL head coach Mike Shanahan spoke with The Athletic And it kind of mentioned that Peyton Manning was really close to signing with the Washington Redskins in 2012. Now, if you remember,
2012. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
That was the year after he basically sat out because he had the neck injury and he was a free agent for the first time, you know, and all, well, I don't want to say for the first time, but the first time he was going to sign somewhere else. He wasn't going to go back to Indianapolis. Yeah. And this is what he said on The Athletic. And I quote, "I think Peyton was disappointing. Kyle," meaning Kyle Shanahan, who was his son and his offensive coordinator in Seattle, "were kind of surprised that he still wanted to meet us. I can remember talking with Elway one time not too long ago, a few years ago. He said, 'Mike, do you realize that Peyton, I think, was going to go to your place? I think he really wanted to go to your place more than our place.' I said, 'Really? I didn't know that.' And that came from John Elway. I knew we were fairly close." So the Redskins that year is when they actually traded with the Rams to get RG3, Robert Griffin. And that ultimately was the swaying for Peyton Manning to go to Denver. But that is a humongous what if in the NFL. And especially the Rams. So, you know, what could have possibly happened if, you know, the Rams and Redskins never made that trade and you saw Peyton Manning in Washington in 2012. And in that year, you know, they had Alfred Morris. I had the roster right here. Here you go. Alfred Morris. Let's see. Who else? Brandon Banks. Pierre Garçon. Fred Davis. I mean, they had a, you know, Santana Moss. He was a bit older, but, you know, he was
still. I got a perfect answer for this. I got a perfect answer for this. Go ahead, Kirk.
You got a perfect.
Take over.
I was
buddy.
Like, okay, I'm waiting on you,
go
Alan.
Ahead, go ahead, Kirk. Do your thing, man. Do your thing, man.
Well, look, put it like this. Okay, so the Rams were sitting there. Okay, they're sitting there at the number two pick. Right, this is the 2012 draft. Washington realizes they are out of the Peyton Manning sweepstakes. They make the trade with the Rams. They move up, okay? Obviously, we know Peyton goes to Denver. But just look at how everything just kind of works out. This is the way that the NFL works. Mm. The Redskins went out and they drafted a guy by the name of RG3, okay? And then they also drafted Kirk Cousins. Now, both players are still in the NFL. Roderick Griffin III is a backup in Baltimore behind Lamar Jackson, and Kirk Cousins just signed another extension. Now, he's no longer a Redskin. He's with the Minnesota Vikings. But if you think about, had the Rams stayed at that number two pick and didn't get Robert Griffin III, or they didn't trade that pick, who could they have gotten that probably would be? And I'm just going through that first round. And think about this. What if they would have drafted possibly a Luke Kuechly, a Fletcher Cox? And they still could have got Aaron Donald later on. Just think about some of these players. Melvin Ingram. The Rams haven't really solved their problem at defensive end. Guess who was picked number 21 in that draft? Guy by the name of Chandler Jones.
Mm. He's been very sneakily good like throughout his entire career.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Wagner, another linebacker. Think about the linebackers in that draft. Oh, Peyton Manning messed up a lot because the Rams could have stayed Pat at two. They could have got them a nice little Pro Bowler, a guy who probably would still be playing with the team right now. But instead, Sam Bradford quickly dissolved. Mm. The Rams had to do it again. The opposite, right? They had to trade up with Tennessee to get Jared Goff with the number one overall pick.
Kirk,
in
you know
2016.
Kirk, like, you know
about
what's
that?
Crazy?
4 years later, they're the ones that were like, yeah, we going to have to do what the Redskins did.
Kirk, you know what's crazy? Think about this every time. When you look back at – let's just talk about drafts. We don't even go free agency, right? So just let's look at drafts. NBA, I do it all the time. Like if you go to the NBA. Yeah.
I love it.
And you look and you're like, all right, who was the best player that came out of – I'm just throwing years out there – 2013 or – wait a minute. How did that guy fall to 13? And I'm talking big-time players like – Kawhi Leonard was a number 13 pick. Giannis Antetokounmpo was, you know, later in the draft. Kobe Bryant. I mean, I could go down the list. There's some unbelievable players. Isn't that crazy to think just how a franchise could so easily have been swayed? You know, the Portland Trailblazers. Here's a good example of Portland. Portland passed on Michael Jordan.
Yes.
Kevin Durant.
Yep.
Who are the others? There's a couple more that they passed on, but I'm talking about
those,
like,
are notable too, though.
Notable. Those are two notables. Yes.
Altering, like, you can't get, you know, you can't get any bigger than that. It's those little things, man. Like, one of those changes can change a franchise for the next 10 years, 15 years, if you make that mistake.
Since you throw it out there, who was drafted number one overall in the 2013 NBA draft, by the way, Alan Sliwa?
I'm going to have to look it up. Who was it? Was it Blake?
No. Wasn't he a singer?
2013. Oh, my gosh. That's right. That was the Anthony Bennett year?
Yes. Well, you could say I'm Tony Bennett, but no, he's Anthony Bennett out of UNLV. Yeah, that was the one where
I forget about him.
It was so bad of a draft pick.
Cody Zeller was four. Yes.
It was so bad of a draft pick, Alan, that what happened?
CJ McCollum, 10.
What happened? Remember, it was so bad of a draft pick. What happened? The NBA gave him a redo the next year to get Kyrie. It was like, man, it's Anthony, man. Get this Bennett dude out of here, man. We're sorry.
Giannis
went 15. That was so bad.
Giannis went 15. I'm just going to name off players that are still in the league. Rudy Gobert. How about Gobert went 20?
What about the number nice 8 pick? Right there. The number 8 pick in that draft.
Oh, that's right, KCP.
Kentavious Caldwell Pope.
KCP's made a living in L.A. He's got three different contracts with the Lakers.
Yeah.
All right, Curtis, what do you got there, buddy?
Well, this is a perfect segue, actually. It was totally unplanned. Okay. So we're talking about the draft. Mm-hmm. That was going to be tomorrow before all this happened. Mm.
And, the NBA draft.
Oh, wow. NBA draft is going to be tomorrow.
It was going to be LeVar Ball's night.
Yep. That's right. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. I saw a graphic on a Bleacher Report, then SportsCenter did it. It's a 2K scan, a really good one, of LaMelo Ball, who is currently projected to go number one. And you know who's got the number one pick?
Golden State?
No. Yep. The Warriors. Mm-hmm. I know
Didn't
we haven't
LaVar
talked
Ball
about.
Already said no.
Yeah, you know LaMelo did a lot to distance himself from what his father did when all the drama went down with Lonzo's agent and all that. So he's kind of been doing his own thing. But I totally forgot about LaMelo until recently, and this guy's about to go
to be,
number.
By the way,
he's
by the way,
we forgot
one.
About LiAngelo. We forgot about LiAngelo. LaMelo different. LaMelo has been that guy. We knew he was. We always said that LaMelo was going to be better than Lonzo. Okay.
But I understand what Curtis is saying there.
Yeah.
When Lonzo was coming out, and obviously he's coming out of UCLA, LaVar was probably, you know, at that time, I can't remember, was LaVar running his mouth more when he was still in college? Or was he running it? Well, actually, he's probably running it.
No,
once,
it was
once
all,
Lonzo was in the league.
It was once Lonzo declared.
Was in the league. Oh, that's
it was,
right.
No, it was
that's
once
right.
Lonzo declared, because remember, he was going to speak it into existence. Remember? Mm-hmm. I'm going to speak it into existence. Mm-hmm. He's going to the Lakers, and they're going to have all three of my boys.
They're
Curtis
still all
still
going
waiting.
To the Lakers, supposedly.
Curtis is still waiting for his ZO2s. Is that what you said,
Curtis? Man, no. I never fell into that trap. No way.
Mace did. Mace had to reimburse.
So here's the thing. So just to go off that, there isn't as much chatter around LaMelo as there was around Lonzo. Would you agree with that?
Because the hype machine, right? We saw Lonzo in plain sight. We saw him at UCLA, mm-hmm. right? We saw him right in front of us play against
100%.
Kentucky, and we saw
100%.
Him go against
There's a reason
DR and
for
Fox.
It. 100%.
Right.
You're 200% right. But I'm saying, would you agree that there just isn't as much chatter about him than there was about Lonzo?
You got to think LaMelo is like a foreign player. He's like Luka Doncic almost. Like once you go overseas, all we have is video. We can't watch your every move. We can't, you know, if you give us what you do on social media, it's one thing. I think had LaMelo stayed over here, played his college ball somewhere in the United States,
sure.
then
he played at Kansas, he played at Kentucky, yeah, went to UCLA.
I think we would have more. He would have more of a following. I mean, you look at his Instagram followers or his social media following. Trust me, people keep their eyeballs on LaMelo. It's just a little bit different that when Lonzo was coming out, we had never seen this before. We had never seen You know, here's his dad that has these three kids, and look at all of them. They won state championships, and he went to UCLA, and he beat Kentucky on national TV. Like, all of that built up, and then obviously Magic Johnson, you know, that had something to do when he was, you know, the vice president of operations. Yeah, mm-hmm. became – so it was a little bit big. And then let's be honest, man. I mean, I never really was one to watch Summer League. Lonzo Ball made me watch Summer League, and he was the greatest thing I'd ever seen, right? Watching Summer League.
I drove to Chino Hills with my buddy to go to that one Summer League game that was that little practice facility that they use over there. It's a really small building. I forget what it's called. The hockey team uses it.
Yeah,
we drove all the way over there just to go watch.
Yeah, because it was
there was a bus.
It was local, but I think with LaMelo being gone, right, being overseas, playing over in Australia against pros, all we had was just the YouTube highlights and the videos on the Instagram and all that stuff. But to Curtis's point,
Tomorrow is supposed to be the draft.
So tomorrow was supposed to be the coronation. It was supposed to be the reemergence of LeVar Ball. Tell everybody,
LeVar was ready.
Okay, I told you, my boys.
So Curtis, is there more to that story of the Golden State Warriors? Like, was there some connection there? Because I thought I had read something too.
There's all the projections so far have LaMelo going one, and right now, once the Lakers beat the Warriors that last game in the regular season, the Warriors cemented their number one
pick. Worst record. So they still would have. So there's, I think, the three worst teams in the league, the way they do the structure now, would have an equal chance at the number one picks. Because remember, you'd have the draft, the lottery draft would be a part of it. But listen, I don't think, and I know, Kirk, you're a fan of the Golden State Warriors. I don't know what they're going to do with that number one pick, but I will tell you, this is their window. They're right in the heart of their window. Right. I wouldn't be surprised if that pick eventually gets shopped. And they load up for next year, and they find a way to try and win, you know, an NBA championship in the next couple of years. This is their window. It's their window. I mean, you can't ask for anything better than what they have.
First of all, Alan,
let's go.
Yeah, yeah,
bro, we in a pandemic. If that ain't told you that tomorrow is not for sure, like, ain't no window. The window is now. So you use what you got now to get the players you need. Ain't no let's stock up for next year. It's okay, let's get what we got right now.
That's
the point.
You're saying they would keep that pick?
They keep that pick. Go and get Wiseman. All right, go and get Wiseman out of Memphis. Well, he only played, what, two games, and then he got suspended. But anyway, but yeah, you got to stock up now. Think about it. There is no more future right now, okay? There is no more future. Remember how we're like, man, in 2 years, they clear some cap space. Man, this pandemic is telling me something totally different. Because
now, what they're going to do.
Because think about this too, Alan. Let me throw this at you. Salary caps ain't going to be how it was before. So we don't even know what the money's going to look like now with the pandemic and what's happening. These salary caps are now going to be what? Adjusted. What does that look like for a lot of these teams who had basically saved up, like the New York Knicks, right? They've been saving up cap space. And all of a sudden now you look at them and like, hey, bro, hey, you ain't working with the same amount you thought you had.
So I think we're saying the same thing, because what I'm telling you is you got to strike when you have the opportunity.
Correct.
You're not planning for 10 years, 5 years down the road. You're just not if you're the Golden State Warriors, because Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, this is your opportunity to win now. By the way, Andrew Wiggins,
today.
Maybe he works out today.
Right? Not tomorrow. Today. Not tomorrow. Next year. I'm talking about right now.
So maybe Andrew Wiggins, works out, maybe he doesn't. But something that you have is you have assets. And if you can go get another all-star caliber player, because Wiggins' contract is an all-star caliber contract, and that pick that you have can help you get, you know, obviously attract an all-star, Golden State Warriors can be right back in the mix with the Lakers, with the Clippers, arguably the toughest division in basketball. They might be able to do that even without everything that I'm telling you. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if they put all their chips in the table and say, we got three more years to try and get another chip or two.
Yeah.
They're close, Kirk.
I don't know, man. I'm just saying, I'm about right now. And I think it is just go as – you just do it as – you make it up as you go. It ain't no more of this planning. It's about right now, right? Because if the Lakers was planning and all of a sudden Avery Bradley told you no, now you scrambling, right? Mm-hmm. We going, this is what we doing right now. This is what we got. Let's do this.
How lucky did the Warriors get, by the way? Yes. I don't know if lucky is actually the right word, but, you know, just to have this season play out the way it did, the year that KD leaves, and now you got a number one pick coming, it's like, damn, you couldn't have asked for like this 1 year off period to restock everything. Klay Thompson, Jess, weren't you just saying Klay is good to go? He cleared every Klay hurdle.
He's done with rehab. He was doing full workouts just like as of last week. So he's gonna be ready to go next season. And you know that it's that core still there. It's still Steph.
They are 100%. They're still
Draymond.
There.
It's still Klay. So what's if I'm the Warriors? You know, why not?
They're a piece away. Who's the pick? They're a piece away.
Yeah, I think Wiggins is going to be that kind of piece to just kind of that glue that holds everything together while Klay and Steph, you know, just kind of keep doing what they keep doing.
Uh-oh. Shams.
Oh, Shams. Dear.
Oh, what man. Do we got Shams here? Is always – it's just – I think we should just tomorrow – or maybe we could do it today. It's a running count on positive
COVID-19 cases.
We're not even surprised no more. It's like you're almost surprised if someone says, I tested negative.
Okay, let's do this because we're coming up to a break right now. When we come back, Kirk, break down Sham's tweet, Sharania from The Athletic. Break that down. Plus, it's a question I've been meaning to ask you for a very long time. And the fact that we've almost gone through two shows and I still have not been able to ask you how football is going to be played this season. I need you to explain it to me. So let's do that. And we come back. Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison, The Sliwa Show. Stay right here on 710 ESPN.
I'm undefeated. Never lost.
All right. So MLS announced their schedule. So LAFC, one of our partners here on 710 ESPN, Monday, July 13th, that's going to be their first game. So they're only guaranteed three games, Kirk. So Monday, July 13th against the Houston Dynamo. And then Saturday, July 18th, 7:30 game against the LA Galaxy. And then Thursday, July 23rd, 7:30 game. So a month from now, Portland Timbers. So we got kind of an idea of the structure from MLS. Now we'll wait. Let's get that NBA schedule. We know that will eventually be coming out. Then let's get Major League Baseball schedule. So, Kirk, you got some additional news going on in the world. The NBA, Sham Sharania put out a tweet from The Athletic. Why don't you fill us in?
Would you call it breaking?
Yeah, I guess it's breaking news. But so when Shams is putting out something right now.
It's bad timing there. Bad timing, Curtis. Not this one. No, not this one. Go ahead.
But no, I guess Shams Charania just posted a statement from Sacramento Kings center forward Alex Lynn, who now becomes the third Sacramento Kings player to test positive for COVID-19. This is a statement from Alex Lynn. As I underwent testing yesterday in Sacramento, was found to be positive for COVID-19. I want to thank the Sacramento Kings for their great care and the NBA for putting protocols in place to allow me to catch this early. I have immediately entered isolation, and I look forward to being cleared, rejoining my teammates for our playoff push. I bring this up because, as I was joking with you, is we should have a running total now of guys who aren't who have tested negative for COVID-19. I mean, that's the bigger total that we want to know about. But this, bringing it full circle, how does this affect the Los Angeles Lakers, Alan, is that we know that the Lakers underwent testing, drive-up testing at their facility, I believe yesterday. Was that Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday?
I think it was yesterday. Yep.
And so, obviously, you see what's going on here. Players are returning to their home facilities. They are now taking these available tests to them at the facilities, and now the teams are letting people know because it is a HIPAA violation if you know, you don't give them the right to announce that you have COVID-19. But we may see possibly the Lakers if any results turned out negative or positive. So we should see in the coming days. I know that some test results take upwards of 48 hours. Some may take 72 hours or maybe even a week. But as I look at other teams and guys who are testing positive, I can only imagine that we're going to see even more high-profile players from other teams and maybe even a couple Lakers.
Well, here's the thing, Kirk. I don't think – I was mentioning this on Crosstalk. So for the Kings, three players test positive. It's Buddy Hield, Jabari Parker, and now Alex Lynn, right? Those are the three players. This shouldn't be – I know this is going to sound – I don't know how it's going to come off, but it shouldn't be a surprise. And let me tell you what I mean by that. This is strategic for the NBA to make sure all the testing is happening now. Players who have tested positive are starting to quarantine. And then eventually you're going to start working your way to Orlando. This is how the bubble is going to work in Orlando. You're trying to make sure this bubble does not contain the virus, right? So
yes.
Don't be surprised over these next couple of days that a number of athletes are starting to test positive. I'm not saying it's a positive by any stretch of the imagination. You don't want anybody to get, obviously, COVID-19 or be in contact with anybody who's had it or whatever the case is. But, Kirk, I don't think this should be a shock, because in order for them to eventually accomplish what they want to do in Orlando, this is part of that process of getting there.
Yeah, it's part of it, right? And even though we are seeing the positive cases now, who's to say we're going to see that a month from now, right? We may not have that uptick in cases, but because the available testing is there, I think what happens is, and this is what I've been seeing throughout the country as well, a lot of people who are asymptomatic that don't have a fever, don't have aches, headaches, don't have a sore throat, dry mouth, none of that, are now testing positive for COVID-19, and that's the scary part, because a lot of them are healthy, living working out, doing everything possible with no symptoms at all, and yet they test positive for COVID-19. That's the scary part, and I think that's where teams now have to be, on high alert that they get all those guys corralled in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Kirk, this is what I need you to do for me, all right? So you play in the NFL. You have unbelievable relationships in the NFL. Your insight, not just NFL, obviously you're going to do it for all sports, but your insight in the NFL, it's bar none. That's why when somebody lobs up an NFL question, I hand the ball off to you and you take off, right? Okay, so
correct.
So Kirk, with that in mind, help me understand this. Help me understand that a league where it's all about contact – there is a large number of players and personnel to put together, obviously not just one team, but you got two teams going at it. There's no real such thing as social distancing. Talk to me about the NFL. How, and I don't want to say we're early, because we're definitely not, but if there's one thing that could play to the NFL's advantage from a timing perspective, at least they can see, they'll have some data, they'll have some information of how things go with Major League Baseball, how things start off with the NBA before they get their sport underway. But talk to me how you think the NFL is going to figure this thing out this season, because I think out of all the sports, it just sounds like that's the sport that's going to be the biggest challenge to try and figure out during COVID-19.
Yeah, and remember, we're talking about more players. We're talking about more bodies, more personnel, right? So that's the difficult thing.
More coaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of that. Staff. And think about when we watch an NBA game, you probably what you have 12 players on the bench, mm-hmm. about what, four or five assistant coaches, head trainer, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. And Major League Baseball, you have about 25 guys, nine out there on the field. You got the other guys in the dugout, in the bullpen, kind of spread out a little bit. You have your manager, third base coach, first base, batting coach, pitching coach, and maybe a trainer. That's it. The NFL, I know for sure you got 53 men on a roster, okay? So you have that going for you. You have all the position coaches, so that means a staff up to maybe 10 to 12, and you got assistants and analysts, trainers, equipment guys. It's a lot of people. Mm. And I think what the NFL is hoping that by the time end of July, August rolls around, that this virus may have peaked or will be will have slowed down, right? It's spread, because that's how I see this thing going. Because there's already
Kirk, that's what they're depending on. They're just depending on, like, is that their hope? Their hope is like they don't feel they can take this thing on the way maybe the NBA is going to try and take it on.
No, I think they will. And look, you got to remember that the protocols that the NFL have already had in place is that they are going to do training camps at their respective facilities. Okay, so teams aren't going to travel, right? I think I told you the story of when I was with the Buffalo Bills. We did training camp at St. John's Fisher College in Rochester, New York. As an Oakland Raider, we didn't practice at our facility during training camp. We always went to the most beautiful place in all of the world, it seems like, if you want to partake in some wine. But we had training camp in Napa, California.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The NFL has mandated that no training camps will take place outside of your own facility where you practice at year round. Okay, so that's one way that the NFL is doing that. We know no fans possibly could be a situation as well. They're trying to keep and limit the access to people outside of the bubble. So they're saying, and I saw this the other day because the Oakland Raiders just opened up their brand new facility in Las Vegas, okay, a little bit earlier than they probably wanted to. They wanted to have one more year in Napa before they move everything to Vegas, but because the NFL says no, you're going to do it at the facility. So they had to rush it. So they'll be having their, you know, their training camp in Las Vegas. They open a facility, and you just watch as when the coaches walked in, it was the protocol, right? It's you know, temperature checks, it's mask on, symptoms checked, all of that, just to make sure. That's how it's going to be as you enter the bubble. And the bubble is going to be your facility. So anybody that walks in that facility will have been checked. Will we make sure that they don't have it? Now, the only thing that scares you is the people who are asymptomatic. But other than that, that's all you need.
But that's what
the NFL is hoping on in the early stages of training camp and in the beginning, that they can control everybody who walks into that facility. They know what they know who's there. Right. And they know you've been around. And as they clear that hurdle of late July into August and they get ready for the season, then it'll be a little bit more clear after having saw the NBA and Major League Baseball and MLS and NHL kind of partake in their seasons.
Well, this is what I heard a lot of, Kirk. I've heard a lot of when I hear about the NFL, they say, you know, they're doing their own thing and they're not paying attention. And, you know, how do they think they can, you know, go through with this? And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, okay, I don't think Roger Goodell and the NFL are just sitting back and all these owners are saying, okay, well, let's just keep kicking the can down the road and see what happens. No, I'm sure that they have a plan A, a plan B, C, D, E, and you could go down the list. You have to. You're running a business. There's so much from a financial perspective that's on the line for, you know, obviously the NFL. They're going to do everything they can to see if they could figure out to play a season or how to play a season or delay it if they need to, whatever the case is. But I do think there's been something about the NFL that the way they've handled their offseason, they have been lucky. They've been very fortunate. Their season ended, you know, the first week of February. Chiefs win the Super Bowl. And then a month later, these other sports start shutting down. So they didn't have to, you know, they didn't have to worry about that. Free agency comes. A lot of conversation. How are you going to do free agency in a pandemic? They do it. They get it done. It worked out, you know, worked out fine.
Right.
NFL draft's going to come. How do you think you could do the NFL draft? What do you mean you're going to do it? They're worried about security and people are talking about there's going to be technology issues. They do it. It happened. And you know, obviously everything worked flawlessly.
The highest rated draft in the history of draft, right?
Highest rated. This is going to be, of course, the real challenge. You could do as many things as you want from a virtual basis, but this upcoming challenge is the challenge. I don't know how they're going to get it done. I really don't. And I think the way you laid it out there, you're obviously trying to make mention of these are the health protocols that they have in mind. But right. Maybe watching what these other leagues do could be the blueprint of them trying to figure this thing out.
Correct. Yeah. How do they handle it? And then remember, the NFL is always going to be transparent. And that's my big thing is that when will they allow fans? Because we know the NFL game is really about the fans. So can they have games without fans, right? We have some beautiful stadiums that are opening up, right? Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. We know about what's going on here in Los Angeles, SoFi Stadium with the Rams and the Chargers. And to have zero fans in the crown jewel that we've waited 4 years for, Alan, four long years of watching that stadium be erected over there.
$5 billion
over in Inglewood. Mm-hmm. And to say that possibly the first game will have zero fans, it's a tough one, man. It's a tough one. But right now, it's patience. That's what I'm saying. It's patience. Now, when it comes to college football, hey, brother, your guess is good as mine. I'm not even going to try to act like I know something. I'm not even going to give you the, I have no idea. Literally.
Kirk, let's talk college football when we come back, because USC football players return back to campus. So they're beginning voluntary workouts. And we know everything that's gone on this last, you could say just really over the last 7 days with college football. So we'll talk about that coming up next. Kirk, if you don't have an answer, make one up, because we need some kind of answer for college football. Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison here. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Kirk, you taking the final shot in pickup games? Are you saying give me the ball? Everybody get out of the way. Just give me the ball.
I'm tipping. I applauded Dennis Rodman.
You're crashing the boards.
I was always a Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen guy.
I'm setting a great screen. All right, Kirk Morrison, Alan Sliwa here. We'll just a quick reminder, by the way, Sliwa Show tomorrow, 6 o'clock crosstalk with John Ireland and BK, Brian Kamenitsky, Mason out for the rest of the week. But you can also tune in starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning with Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis. They'll take it till 10 a.m., followed by Sedano, Will Kane, and then Mason and Ireland, Sliwa Show after that. So, Kirk, you broke down the NFL for me. You told me exactly how they're going to do it. You predicted that the Rams are going to go 16-0. You did it all right?
Correct.
Other than the NFL. So USC football players return to campus, so they're beginning their voluntary workouts. Good, actually, article right now in the USA Today from Paul Meyerberg that just is breaking down the challenges that college football is going to have, really basically saying more towards the perspective, Kirk, that he thinks they shouldn't be doing it. But just a reminder here, Clemson said last week that 23 players had tested positive for COVID. 30 players from LSU had been quarantined after testing positive for COVID-19 or coming into contact with someone who had. Kansas State, 14 athletes tested positive. How about this? This was part of the article from Paul Meyerberg in USA Today. 37 universities with FBS programs have positive cases among athletes and or staff. So I'm just putting out the facts there for you. My question to you is USC opening up for this voluntary workouts, is that a good idea, or are you scratching your head saying, SC, what are you guys doing?
I think it's a great idea because now a lot of these players are under the watchful eye and the watchful care of the university. And a lot of them have the accessible testing, right? Because now USC has, its own medical staff, training staff, all of that. That's good for these players. They need that. That's why you see some of these uptick. I'm gonna be honest with you, Alan. Being 18, 19 years old, honestly, if my mom didn't tell me to go to the doctor, I wasn't going to the doctor. Just being real. Wasn't taking the checkups. Nothing like that. I mean, 18, 19, 20 years old.
You feel like you're good. You feel like you're healthy. And you're not talking about COVID. You're just saying in general.
I woke up 10 toes on the ground. I'm breathing. Hey, brother, I was good. That's how you feel. But I think now, because of where we're at, this is the good part for some of these athletes and players who are, remember, a lot of them are away from home, too. People forget that. Like, a lot of these athletes aren't in a situation in which they're at home with their parents. They're returning to workouts under the care of the university, of the football program, where they have, to me, unlimited resources a lot of places that they go. So I think this is a good thing for them. Obviously, it's going to be an uptick in the positive cases for guys who have either not been tested or, for guys who have been carrying the COVID-19 for a week or two. So I think this is a good thing. And then you want to get some some sort of normalcy, and hopefully that you can start to gauge what college football may look like possibly in the fall. Do they push games back? Do you delay the start of it? I know that I was looking forward to it. It's still on the table. They're still saying, hey, we're going to be able to start, but
they got some time. They got a little bit of time.
USC Alabama
right?
was game is game one, right? Mm-hmm. USC Alabama is game number one. I would love to see that game. I think it's down in Arlington, in Dallas. So I would love to see that game, but we know there's still a lot of time in between to figure out where does college football go, which direction.
So this is the only thing, Kirk. So when I read that they start voluntary practice, I understand what you're saying. Like, they're going to be under incredible medical staff, obviously the resources that USC has, all these football programs. And by the way, it's not just college football that's, you know, returning back. There's other sports returning back as well. But I don't know, Kirk. I'm just not comfortable with it. You know, I almost, in a sense, I feel bad for these college athletes who they're not getting. It's not like the NBA players are going back to go play for a specific reason. They're trying to get their check, number one. And number two, they're going to try and win an NBA championship. There's an incentive to do it. Major League Baseball, they were fighting over money. I don't have to sit here and tell you that it all came down to the finances of whether they were going to give this thing a shot. I'm more protective when it comes to college athletes. You know, I don't feel comfortable with that many kids testing positive so quick on a football team, like we saw at Clemson, like we saw at some of these other universities. Maybe because this is still so new, I don't feel as good when I see that. So when I see USC doing the voluntary workouts, to me personally, I'm sitting back saying, I don't know if that's the most responsible thing to do right now.
Well, I'll tell you this, Alan. A couple weeks ago, the gyms opened up in Los Angeles. Okay, mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago. I was one of those guys that was there when the doors opened. I couldn't wait to get back in the gym. I love the gym, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm in there training, and I see a couple of college athletes, right? I won't say what school they were at or what school they went to, but I just knew, right? They had the what I call the issue gear on because it had what school they played at. And so I knew. So I kind of, you know, I peep them out a little bit, and they could look at me because I do have, you know, the football build. And I was throwing up some weight. You know what I mean? So they're like, okay,
that's what I'm talking about, Kirk. You saw a couple college players there. You were like, but don't forget who I am.
But you could definitely see that they were a little lost, okay? Mm-hmm. And they were lost in that they didn't have the same direction. They didn't have that same, I think, instruction.
They don't
that
have
they
the coaches
get.
There. They don't have the all trainers that. There. They don't have the structure.
That structure is not in place. And so I'm watching that, and I'm kind of just peeping out the side of my eye, and I'm like, these dudes need to get back. They need to get back to their own facilities, their own strength coaches, get back to their instruction. Because these are just young guys, man. These, not, like I said, 18, 19, 20 years old. A lot of guys can't do it on their own, right? I remember when I was in high school, I thought working out was just doing curls.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what,
push-ups.
Kirk, all these sports, that sounds like my life. All these sports got a lot to figure out, but college, like I said, I'm a little more protective of. Kirk, thank you, buddy. Greatly appreciate it. Already looking forward to when we do the show next week. Thanks for doing this, all right?
Always, brother. Appreciate it, Alan.
All right, Kirk Morrison, Alan Sliwa, thank you for listening.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.